Josh.
Hello.
Did you hear yourself all right?
Yeah.
We sat down and watched a movie this week.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you sat down and watched a movie this week. You I watched it like the week before, so.
Which then told me to watch it.
Yes. Hateful Eight.
Yes.
Written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. You want to pop me off with a synopsis? Let's get into this. Come on, we've got to get back into the flow. Took a week break.
Not for them, for us.
Oh, yeah, for us.
While racing toward the town of Red Rock in post-Civil War Wyoming, bounty hunter John the Hangman Ruth, played by Kurt Russell, and his fugitive prisoner, Jennifer Jason Leigh, not her name, it doesn't say her name in here, encounter another bounty hunter, Samuel L. Jackson, and a man who claims to be a sheriff. Hoping to find shelter from a blizzard, the group travels to a stagecoach stopover located on a mountain pass. Greeted there by four strangers, the eight travelers soon learn that they may not make it to their destination after all.
Is that the movie you sat down and watched this week?
I don't think any of them think I'm not making it to my destination. But for the most part, yeah.
I mean,
I'd say the first...
Act three, they're kind of like, we're not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We need to sort this out.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. He spent a pretty penny on the movie. $62 million.
Yeah, that's a decent budget, though. Because there are pretty big actors in this. Yeah. I think it is worth the budget. But I want to say they're maybe a little bit overpriced just because it's one
like
set.
Saw.
Yeah.
Think the first Saw. Yeah. It's just one area. They did
just
have
one set.
They did have some scenes outside of that set, and then, but
like maybe it was all the snow. That's what cost the most money.
Real snow. But it made definitely made its money. It's a Quentin Tarantino. Ooh, it made its money back.
Yeah, absolutely.
$156.5 million.
Yes.
Now we discussed this before. All the breaths you see, all the steam, all that sort of stuff, real.
Yeah.
Not CGI.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino.
It was cold.
Quentin Tarantino put these fuckers in a large fucking refrigerator.
Fuck, yes.
Because he didn't want to pay for CGI.
So then, yeah, that's where all the budget's going, you know?
Oh, yeah, refrigerators
set,
are expensive.
Yeah, the set would have been built in...
Yeah, it would have.
A room refrigerator. It's not like they could have just turned down the AC.
A nice little touch I liked is, so log cabins, though well insulated, you think like post-Civil War, so it's 1800s, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
You can see snow coming in through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, like, just these little, those little details light through the, like through cracks and stuff
around
windows.
Yeah, where like the chinking's falling off. Yeah,
oh.
Absolutely.
Is that what that, the foam, I'll say foam, that like, is that what that's called, chinking?
Yeah, well, I mean, sidetrack, I've been getting into like solo log cabin build ASMR videos on YouTube, and I've fallen down that rabbit hole. I want to buy property out in the Blue Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
$400,000 just outside of Lithgow, or you can get I think it's $500,000 for a place just outside Bathurst. It's like 30 minutes away from Bathurst for like 180 hectare.
Nice.
Oh, I want it so bad. So yeah, I've been looking at log cabin building videos and shit like that. Yeah, so a lot of the people I see on YouTube, the big guys there, like one of them's in the UK. I think another one's in like North Canada. So it's all straight pine trees and evergreens that are perfect for making log cabins. But all the moss and shit that are in the forests, they put in between the logs to like kind of insulate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, chinking.
Logs are circle, right? Like they make them still rounded. They don't flatten off the bottom, do they?
No, but there's a...
This will act as a way for them to actually tessellate.
Yeah. I mean, some of the guys I use, like, obviously... some of the guys I see obviously use modern equipment, chainsaws and the like, and have, like, one or two guys building it. They'll run the chainsaw in between before they lay it so that it is actually touching. But even then, it's, like, a couple of mil that's touching.
Yeah.
Out here, like out in Australia, if you were using like gum trees or iron box probably better because they are dead straight, but you'd still need to add some sort of chinking or insulation foam just because they're so bent out of whack.
Okay. Interesting.
Man, that
was a good lesson.
That's a rant.
That's a good lesson.
Okay.
If you didn't know, now you do.
I
didn't. Thanks for that.
Bushcraft.
I very much appreciate learning things. I fucking love learning things.
Well, that's why we started the podcast. I like direction style. Speaking of, what do you think of the cinematography in this movie?
I really liked... So some scenes I was like, that's Tarantino.
Lingering shots.
Yeah, like certain things I could tell. I'm like, that's a Tarantino like stereotype. That yeah. All movies do this.
How much feet was in this movie?
Feet?
Not a lot.
No.
Yeah, Tarantino's got a thing for feet.
But like, I could just tell that that's his style. He definitely left his mark on this movie with the direction style. But there are a few things that I felt were new to him.
Like what?
So one of my points is the characters in the background.
Yeah, okay.
You can see them in the background and they looked still as fuck. They weren't part of the shot, but they still existed because they were only in this one cabin. Yeah, so if they weren't there, you'd be like, where's everyone else? So you'd have, I think his name's Tim Roth. He played the British guy.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
you
love
just
that
see
dude.
Him
Different
leaning.
Lie to me.
Yeah. Yeah. He also played Abomination in The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Apparently he's in She-Hulk.
As Abomination.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Glossed over for me.
So, you see, the scene that set out to me and first popped into my head was he's just leaning there, just, you know, just casual, arms leaning over, but he's fucking dead still.
Yeah.
As if, because it's not him, it's as if he was a background, like they painted him on.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, and you see other characters, the old dude in the chair, you see him in the background, and he's just sitting there, dead still. I appreciated that because it was like, you're not, you see them, you still know they exist.
Yeah, just don't take anything away from the scene that we're
taking. There's no hidden Easter eggs with them.
No, it's not like they're doing stuff in the background.
Yeah, he's not sitting there loading a gun. You go, ooh, he's loading a gun. He's going to do something later. Focusing on the characters at the forefront, the ones in focus. That's the story there. Everything in the background, they're just there to look good.
Absolutely. You know what just popped into my head?
What's that?
This is a great case study for Chekhov's gun.
How so?
Every single character, barring the prisoner, is holding a gun. Always threatening to shoot each other. And in Act 3, that's all they do. So every single one of those guns gets fired. Did you watch Pulp Fiction?
Oh, a very long time ago.
Yeah, okay. Kill Bill?
Only Volume 2.
Okay, well, I haven't seen Kill Bill, but there's a thing I think Tarantino does very well, is lingering shots.
Yeah.
That you don't lose interest, you're intrigued. What's happening?
It hooked me.
Yeah, like first act, after Samuel L. Jackson's in the coach, they run into the new sheriff. There is a lingering shot with him walking with a lantern that seems like it lasts for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still an interesting shot because you're like, what the fuck? They're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Because of what I expect, I feel like it's one of those things, lingering shot, you expect something bad to happen or something to happen to that person.
Yeah,
You're like, this is going for 5 minutes. Something's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing happens. You're it's like, I love heavily CGI'd movies where it's like you can, in your head, you know something CG is going to happen because the scene will change. Like me and Alyssa are watching Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
And in the early seasons, they did this like when they're giving the profile, the background changes and it's definitely a green screen effect, but you can see it before it happens because everything in the background goes blurry as if they're prepping for a green screen. I really enjoy stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then when nothing happens on lingering shots, you're like, oh, fuck, maybe the next one. And then nothing happens. Yeah. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe the next one.
Ha, got me.
Yeah.
It's like he's constantly pranking you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Subverting expectations.
Fuck, you're around with the big words.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm trying. I have my coffee. I have my big boy drink.
Redithosaurus.
Yeah, Redithosaurus. I still can't speak properly.
That's right. We'll get there.
This will be episode 16, 17, and I still can't fucking talk properly.
Hey.
That's why you read out the synopsis every week.
I went through speech therapy. I didn't say my first word till I was four, motherfucker.
All All right. So we both got a couple of talking points, as is the standard for now.
Yep.
I kind of want to skip my first one because I didn't do it in all. Do them in order. No, I just kind of sat and.
I don't think we said that it had to be in order.
No, well, that's. Well, I want to jump to my third one.
Okay.
Who was your favorite character or actor playing this character?
I have two for two different reasons.
Okay.
Okay. Tim Roth. Mm-hmm. I like his acting style. I felt like he was doing his close to his natural British accent.
He was definitely close, like adjacent to his natural speaking voice.
Maybe a bit more Cockney.
Yeah.
Welshish, but I felt like it was very natural. He felt natural in that environment with that accent, yet still out of place and an interesting character with the time he had.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I like that.
Tim Roth, yeah.
And Sam Jackson, because he was essentially from the start, he was a detective. From the start.
Yeah.
He had been there before, he had traveled that land, and nothing made sense to him. And he was just piecing stuff together. It was like he was telling a story. It's like he was leading to the end from the start.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with this? This doesn't make sense. And then, like, questions like, then you know, yeah.
And then the end, like, what, the middle of Act 3, where everything comes full circle, he's going through all of his points on why he thinks it's all weird.
Yeah. Essentially, he was slowly deducing what really happened.
Yeah.
And then shit hit the fan.
But, like, down to like, the jelly bean in the floorboards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he sees
the Mexican, and he's like, oh, no. That's, no.
If you've been coming here for a while, you'd know that she had a sign that said, no dogs are Mexicans. Do you know why she took that sign down? She started letting in dogs. I'm like, oh, damn. Oh.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Many a black lady, is she racist to Mexicans?
Yeah.
That is a whole nother layer.
Yeah, that is
layers.
Yeah.
Tarantino, this is what I'm saying, layers. Like a lasagna. Layers. Like an ogre. I'm not saying the O word.
Ogre?
No. Onion.
All right. What did you think of the deaths in this movie? I think they all happened pretty fucking quickly. And that was kind of upsetting for me because it was like literally within the span of gunshot, you lost a character.
When they first started from the poisoning, it was just like with every, there was like no more than 10 to 15 minutes passed before there was another one or two.
Yeah.
And then there was a time where there was none and then everyone.
Yeah. Oh, not in my points, but me and Alyssa watched this together. And in the credits, we
saw... Not really a cuddle movie, right?
No, not at all. We saw Channing Tatum in the list of names. And we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then
I thought he played a stool or something. Yeah. I'm like, where the fuck is he?
Halfway through the movie, we were like, wait a minute. There's only seven of them. What's going on?
You know what I thought? Because my wife said the same thing. She goes, is this that Tarantino movie with Channing Tatum in it? And I was like, I don't know. And then she did some research. She goes, yeah, Channing Tatum's in it. Mind you, I'm going through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I don't see him. Like, what if he's one of the bodies and he's a face? And that's why they said he's in it.
Yeah,
because he plays
thinking.
A dead body.
Yeah.
I didn't think of the seven. I didn't think
I think there's actually eight of them. And then the no-name character or the character I really can't remember, the first one to die from the poisoning.
OB. So you got the hangman, Obi, the Mexican, Tim Roth, Sam Jackson, the sheriff, the old dude, the cowboy, and the lady.
Yeah, that's only seven.
That's nine.
Oh,
that's
wait, what?
Everyone, that's nine.
Oh,
Then you add thingy, but you take Obi off, you take the lady off, that's eight.
Yeah, that makes sense. She's not doing much.
And Obi is a stagecoach dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So you take those two off. There's 10 people. But I thought, I was like, how much do you want to fucking bet this motherfucker is just like, Channing Tatum's in the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe, I was thinking, I think it was last night as I was heading to bed, I was like, what if the whole, like, the only reason Channing Tatum's in it is because he met Tarantino and he was like, oh, I'm doing a movie. He's like, can I be in it? I want to be in a Tarantino movie. He's like, yeah, why not? I'll write a little character for you.
I thought he would be in a flashback as one of like the owners.
Oh,
like the husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the, and then you cast someone like Channing Tatum, get him in a fat suit.
Yeah.
And like that would be...
He could be... what was his name? Something, the nice guy, the sweet Bob, sweet...
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
But yeah, he'd be someone like that. Just, you wouldn't recognize him. Absolutely. Penguin in the new Batman. No one had any idea that was...
Wait, what's his name again? I know the dude.
He's in The Gentleman.
Yeah.
He's an Irish dude. Either way, he's an Irish dude. No idea. I was like, that's such and such. My wife's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, the fuck it is. And IMDb, I was like, see? She's like, it looks nothing like him. I'm like, yeah, that's prosthetics, man. Yeah. Like,
it's so fucking good.
But,
And my last point, what do you think of the deaths in this? Do they do anything for you?
First few, well, the poisoning, holy shit, that was grotesque.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's some tuberculosis shit. And then it was just like your standard shootings, your head's getting blown off, all that sort of stuff.
Fucking
and then,
gruesome, this movie.
And then Sam Jackson gets his nuts shot off.
Yeah, that's fucked.
I
feel sorry for that man.
And then fucking Channing Tatum, they're like, oh, come out here, yada, yada, yada. Channing Tatum eventually comes out, and then as he's, you know, talking, whoop, there he goes.
Yeah, just straight up like, yeah, oh, he wasn't surrendering. In the movie for long.
He wasn't surrendering fast. And then, there were some lackluster deaths. They were your typical Tarantino, saw that coming kind of.
I think it kind of slowed down once Sam Jackson, like, put everyone up against the wall and, like, you knew who the bad guys were at that point.
Yeah.
You knew what went wrong. It's one of those things where it's like, that kind of slowed down for me and kind of took away the mystery.
What I appreciated was the... So, to my knowledge, which isn't extensive, but to my knowledge, the damage that the bullets did then, being so low caliber, and the rounds tended to drift a lot, they weren't that deadly in certain areas. You get shot today, like, you'll survive on smaller calibers. These are tiny rounds. They go fast, but tiny. Tim Roth gets shot in the upper abdomen, and he stays... He's like, oh, I'm dying, but he stays alive for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes, like, 2 or 3 shots to kill a person. That was what it was like back then.
Yeah.
You know, they would just unload to kill one person because they didn't know the full damage. They were just wasting lead. I appreciated that sort of effect.
Yeah.
I also think it played into the Tarantino style of I just love mowing people down.
Mm-hmm. And then still having them have a full-fledged conversation.
You see Sam Jackson reload, which isn't all that common in movies.
That's true.
Normally they just go, he reloaded.
Yeah, that's kind of what I don't like about movies that involve guns nowadays. Like, even you look at a lot of military shit, like even American Shooter did it. There's, like, of course they're using like 30 round mags.
Yeah.
And clips and I don't know.
But it's like...
We're Australian, we don't have guns.
It's like they unload it.
Yeah.
And then they're shooting again. And you're like, how... This is like 60, 70, 90 bullets. What the fuck? Where's that?
Yeah.
Give me 1 or 2 reload scenes.
And then I'll believe you.
So I know he's...
Like, you know what? Even the fucking Matrix did it. The one movie where they don't have to reload. There's no physical reason they have to reload. They still reload.
They quite literally say in the Matrix, Neo has cheat codes.
Yeah.
He is a hacker of the Matrix. He is the one. He can fucking fly! Oh, yet he still reloads!
But it like, again, that brings another point, like the scene where him and Neo and the evil program?
Smith.
Neo and Smith are fighting in the subway and they both get their guns to each other and click, click.
Yeah.
Like, that scene is fucking amazing. And it's because they actually go, wait a minute, these guns can only hold 10 bullets.
We wasted 10 bullets.
Yeah.
But I liked that in this, Sam Jackson sits there. It adds to the scene as well.
Yeah.
He's talking, you know, this, that, and everything.
It's not a quick reload.
No, he does it properly. He pulls it apart. You see him, like, pop the casings. Oh, that effect where the bullet falls down and lands, like, dead.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, that's a magnet. Because it goes, yeah. But I think it was real. I think that...
That would have been so many shots.
I think they did the shot multiple times and they chose the one where it stayed up. I don't think they were looking for it, but the fact that it stayed up is the one they chose. Because you know, let's say, oh, we'll record the bullets dropping so that that adds the effect of the seriousness of it, because it does. It makes it super serious. Absolutely. He's taking the cartridges out. But they add this sound as if, like, your typical magnet pulling something. It just goes zip.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was... Ooh. If nice it was, effect.
Yeah, I would like to maybe look at the director's cut to see if they mention that.
If it was done practically and it just happened by a happy accident, amazing.
Oh, yeah, fucking earth.
If it was done purposely, still amazing, but you cheated, man.
Yeah,
you cheated.
You cheated.
What up?
I thought I had to sneeze.
Oh, okay.
You have 3 points as well, Josh.
So we already spoke about characters in the background.
Yes.
Already spoke about Sam Jackson, the detective.
Yes.
Apparently, wife was trying to find out the movie prior to me watching it. I was heading off to work, and she's like, what movie are you watching? I'm like, Hateful Eight, because she likes to... She sometimes likes to watch the movie with me, and if it interests her, she'll watch it. This was not one of them, by the way.
Just, oh, I wonder why.
She's not a big fan of Tarantino's style. It's just her.
Not a lot of people are.
Apparently, according to, I believe, a Google search she did, this is a sequel to Django. I think sequel in the sense of same universe.
Yeah, I don't really count that as a sequel, though.
I'm going to do some research right now.
That's fine. We can take a quick pause.
Hateful Eight. I believe this is what she Googled.
I can have a vape.
We'll go to the wiki.
This is all getting cut.
Tarantino announced the film in November 2013. He conceived it as a novel and sequel to... Okay. It was conceived... So this is what she's read. It was conceived as a novel and sequel to Django Unchained. Then he decided to make it a standalone film.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so...
That makes sense. Oh, we should have said in the opening crawl, this is Tarantino's eighth film.
Eighth.
It says at Hateful the beginning.
Eight. Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a happy accident. I don't know if that's a happy accident. Or he was like, you know what? This is my eighth film. I want eight people. I'm going to name it Hateful Eight.
Wow. Yeah, no.
Little fun facts. Little fun facts. Tarantino is one of those directors where there are a lot of little fun facts.
Yeah.
I enjoy those.
No, I like his... I think he's got a very prominent directing style.
Yeah.
He doesn't stray too far away from the line he likes to walk.
Mm.
He might go off a little bit, but he always comes back to it.
Yeah. You can definitely, if you sit down and watch a movie, you can go, oh, this is Tarantino, isn't it?
Like, he directed a episode of CSI Miami. If you watch that episode, it is definitely directed by Tarantino. It's got the boot shot. It's got, you know, lingering shot. It's got every single mark of Tarantino in it, in a 30-minute episode.
Was that before or after he started doing movies?
After. Oh, so he's okay. Already... I don't think he had made his big name,
but
it was after Kill Bill, Volume
2. I feel like that was his big name.
Yeah, but...
I feel like Kill Bill was one of those movies where it's like, that's what set him up as a director.
That's probably why they got him in.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know if it was off the back of it, but he'd done an episode, and I watched... This was around the time I was watching CSI. I was like, fuck you, CSI. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good episode. And then it's like directed by Quentin Tarantino. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I think it was a two-parter too.
Oh,
it was one of those like,
good.
I think it was a two-parter. So it was like he did one part and another. But the boot shot, I was like, oh, that's a Tarantino thing. Holy shit, it's directed by Tarantino.
Fucking hell. Well, but, yeah, if you can peg it as a Tarantino film, like it's one of those things where it's just enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Like his directing style for me is just enjoyable. I wouldn't say it's like the best directing style or he directs the best movies or they're even good movies, but I think his style is just enjoyable to watch and I can't pinpoint why.
I personally would like to see him go away from the genre he does. The action/drama. I would like to see him, just for the sake of it, I would like to see him do balls to the wall, Fast and Furious style action. Because...
Why'd you have to say that?
I reckon... I don't mean like a Fast and Furious movie. I just mean like a dumb, brain-dead action movie.
Junk food movie, yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see his creativeness when they go, look, here's a big-ass fucking check. You have absolutely free reign.
I wouldn't be bad.
To do whatever the fuck
have
you
to be
want.
Rated R, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let him do whatever the fuck and let him just go wild.
You because know what?
He, because he writes... Does he write a lot of the movies he directs?
I think so. I think...
Take away
some,
the writing.
If not all of them.
Take away the writing and say, direct this shit.
No.
Make him write it too.
Make him write it.
Write this, but fuck the story off. Just make it action.
Yeah. I'd like to see him make a fucking Transformers movie.
Give Sam Jackson two fucking revolvers and let him mow cunts down without reloading.
Yeah, fucking oath.
Fucking just... make it modern. Let Tarantino go wild.
I like to see a Tarantino junk film.
Because a lot of his movies that I deem as, let's say, quote-unquote, bad or not as good as other movies he's done.
Tokyo Ghoul Police? Sorry, what?
No, I mean him.
Oh, okay.
Movies that he's written and directed that aren't as good as others.
Yeah, like, I don't like Pulp Fiction.
I don't, like I said, I've watched it ages ago. I don't remember. I know it has good moments.
Yeah, it's got some decent moments.
But that's all it left on me, I guess. So maybe it isn't as good as people say because it only left moments.
Yeah.
But take that for instance. I didn't like Kill Bill Volume 1. Well, Kill Bill. I watched Volume 2 because that's where all the action is. Yeah, and again, that only left scenes. Like her resetting her toes, the Lucy Liu fight, those sort
Still
of things.
Still haven't seen it, but I'll take your word.
But let this guy just go nuts.
Yeah.
Fuck your story. Don't make it drama. Don't.
Yeah, just make it...
Don't layer on these things. Don't let us connect with the characters. Make them 2D.
You know what?
And just do dumb shit.
I know I've got a thing for horror. A majority of the movies I've picked on this podcast are horrors, but I'd love to see a
Tarantino like horror movie.
Yeah, like supernatural horror.
Proper.
Yeah.
I reckon...
Awesome.
I reckon that right there is like begging for punishment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you... Get him to write a horror movie, and the way he writes shit, it seems, is like I said, he has layers, depth. It won't be a jump scare horror movie.
No.
There won't be any dun. It would just be, you'd be sitting there shaking, where the fuck's the jump scare? Where the fuck's the jump scare? There would never be a jump scare.
Yeah.
And you would go home waiting for that jump scare. There will be no release. It'll be psychological torture.
Fucking earth. Oh, I would love to see a lingering shot of like a ghost walking down a hallway. No jump scare.
Just slow.
Horror. Pure terror.
And it'll be done in such a way that you won't even know if there's actually something there. Like those videos you see on the internet where they turn the light off and you see a silhouette and then turn the light back on.
Well, like, there's... have you seen the movie Lights Out?
No.
Have you seen Haunting of Bly Manor?
Yes.
Haunting of Hill House?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. Haunting of Hill House. Yeah.
Just in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you go, wait, was that there? Wait, was that there? Did I see? You watch it with someone else. Like, did you see this? No, I didn't see that. And they go back. Holy shit.
Hey, we need to start a horror movie podcast.
Please, no.
There's a lot that I need to show you. It's my favorite
genre. Nah, man. I'm getting chills just thinking about...
No. I'll send you through some shit. There's,
You told me, is Hill House the first one?
Yeah, Hill House is the first one.
Yeah, with the mother and...
Yep. Bly Manor is the quote-unquote sequel in the second season.
Yeah.
There is a YouTube channel that make short horror movies called Crypt TV.
Someone has mentioned this to me before.
They are so fucking good. Seriously, if anyone listening is a fan of horror, just go on YouTube, type in Crypt TV. They're very, very fucking good. They're all like their own IPs. Like, they've all made their own monsters, their own prosthetics. It's all, like, practical effects, too. It's fucking amazing. But that's enough for my tangents, because I've gone on two now. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes for Hateful Eight is?
87% for critics.
87?
87% for critics.
74. But certified fresh.
Yeah. And then audience, let's go 89. I reckon audience liked it.
76.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
pretty roundabout the same.
I guess because he's an established director, maybe people are a bit more harsh on it.
Yeah.
He's a household
critics
name.
Would be more harsh. People like know what they like.
Yeah.
I get that. The critics' consensus, however, is The Hateful Eight offers another well-aimed round from Tarantino's signature blend of action, humor, over-the-top violence.
I didn't find much humor in it, though. There were funny moments.
Oh, there were funny moments.
But not...
Yeah. I agree with you. Not so much on the humor. all while demonstrating an even stronger grip on his filmmaking craft.
Oh, yeah.
Very fucking good movie. Yeah. Very good movie. But I am seeing some rotten reviews.
Ooh, hit me with one.
So we have... Oh, well, actually... Out of the four I have on my screen now, three are women.
Hit us.
I just thought I'd put that out there. So this is Max Weiss from Baltimore Magazine, top critic. Some of Tarantino's worst instincts are on display in The Hateful Eight, which, damn it, could have been so great.
Oh, well.
I think this is a great film.
Yeah, it's...
Shit
happens.
Adam Namer, CinemaScope, top critic. The Hateful Eight may really be sort of terrible. That's wonderful, mate. You know, more fucking critics that write rotten fucking Rotten Tomatoes reviews need to put their comprehensive did I like it or not in their title. Because all these speech bubbles are titles, and then you can read the full review.
You get enough from the title.
Yeah. Like, you should just fucking... Yeah. There's some shit like that I hate. Sarah Michelle Fetters, moviefreak.com, top critic. The Hateful Eight has lots of love, but just as much to Arbor. Fucking, okay. Making it an elegant enigma that is frustrating as it is impressive. I don't agree with any of these. I can't... It pisses me off.
It's apparently a roof.
Arbor.
Yeah.
Give me the IMDb, my man.
7.8. Fuck off.
Yeah. 0.1 point off, mate. How's that make you feel?
Not bad, actually. That's really close. I'm very happy with that, actually.
There was one, I can't remember what movie, but you fucking pinged them all.
Yeah. One movie and then just downhill from there.
Yeah, downhill from there. You'll never live up to that again. But after looking at Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, and, you know, we've talked about it for a good 30 minutes now. What are your opinions on The Hateful Eight, Josh?
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think it's his eighth movie. Yes. He's done other stuff, but it's his eighth movie, written, directed, I guess.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. I think really liked Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess that's his take on an actual full action movie with story, though.
I still haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I never got around to it.
I really enjoyed this. Not how I expected, because of the whole setup, and I already knew what I was going into with the whole one room, because I'd seen reviews years ago that, you know, it was similar to Saw in the sense of, like, they had one set.
Mm.
But he'd done a very good job of separating the areas, making them feel like they're their own little quarter.
Like, they draw a line in the sand. Yeah. Like, that's the north, that's the south, you know.
They literally say, the bar is this area, the fucking thing, the... kettle is this area. Like, they do that, and that was really nice. North and south. And I really enjoy this movie. If I had to give it a number...
Well, you do.
I would tell people about it, but I wouldn't brag about it. I would probably push it to more, hey, you should see Hateful Eight if you like Tarantino movies.
So that's fair.
I'd probably say a 6. Yeah, let's go a 6. Yeah,
solid 6.
I would tell people about it and say, hey, look, go and watch this movie if you like Tarantino, and go watch, even if you don't like Tarantino and you like, let's say, Old West post-Civil War stuff, this is also another good one. But, you know, I wouldn't go up to someone and say, you know, I wouldn't be having conversations with, like, say, Rob, one of our mutual friends who likes movies. He's probably already fucking seen it. He's a Tarantino fan. Yeah. But if he had it and he was like, oh, Quentin Tarantino's good, I wouldn't be going to him, bro, you have to see Hateful Eight. even with Tarantino fans, I wouldn't be like, you have to see it. I'd be like, hey.
Yeah, you should check it out if you've got time.
Check out Hateful Eight if you like Pulp Fiction.
So a six. Yeah. See, I think I'm going to be a little bit... I want to say... harsher.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be a little bit harsher. I think it's a solid five.
Yeah? Average? Yeah,
average movie. I'll probably bring it up once to someone. Go, hey, you seen Hateful Eight? No? You should probably watch it. It
doesn't take away from being a good movie, though.
Yeah, absolutely not. But it's not one of those things where I'm going to, like, bring up every week, like, mate, you watched The Hateful Eight yet? You watched The Hateful Eight yet?
Yeah.
You fucking watched The Hateful Eight?
And there have been some movies on this podcast that you've told me to watch and vice versa. Yeah. I'd be like, have you watched the movie yet? Have you watched the movie yet? Because I know they're good or you know they're good. And you
want to talk about how fucking good they are, yeah.
But I find that so difficult with RRR. We literally we had to stop ourselves with a few really, really good movies that we've watched. We've had to stop ourselves off podcast. Like, hey, how good? No.
Yeah, we've got to shut your mouth. No, we record Saturday. We got to fucking shush.
Yes.
I don't care if it's Monday. We're not talking about it for the rest of the week.
Yeah. So this is one of those where I didn't message you to say, hey, have you watched it? We didn't. You didn't check on me to see if I watched it. It was just like,
yeah. No, it was just kind of like you know, we're recording Saturday. Yeah. Worst case scenario, you wake up and watch it Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Woo.
So a five.
A five, yeah, pretty average.
So, what do you think we're putting this on the record? Because I just stole some gold from the depository. We can melt it down, send it to space.
How much space do we have on this disc? That's probably a good question.
Not much.
Yeah,
we're running low.
I don't think Hateful Eight makes the cut. I don't think it's indicative of filmmaking. Does that make sense?
I do agree. I was really thought about this about 5 minutes ago. I'm like, I fucking do not want to play Rock, Paper, Scissors. No. I really hope we agree with a no.
Yeah, I think it's a very good movie.
It is.
Very...
very Tarantino.
Very Tarantino.
No cameo from Tarantino. Maybe he was a dead body.
Oh, that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Because he had one in Django Unchained. He blows himself up.
Yeah. Look, I think it's a very good movie. If you haven't seen it, I think you can put it on your list.
Yeah.
And you won't be, you know, don't be sad if you miss it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, put it at the bottom of your list. Yeah, if you'll get around to it.
If you have a list where you watch in order, then, you know, don't be mad if you skip it.
Yeah, like, if you go, well, the new Spider-Man just came out, I need to watch that. Yeah. So, yeah, you can fuck off Hateful Eight. But, with that being said, still a very good movie.
Very good.
Very good. Solid five. Does not make the cut.
Does not.
Well, that being said, Josh, we just finished another podcast.
Yeah, we did.
We just finished another episode. Yeah. That was a quick one today.
Sorry, I'm going to apologize to everyone that it might... with the editing might jump a bit because I just got over COVID and have a lingering flu. Not long COVID. Have a lingering cough. And there were some. If Ryan can't edit it out, you will hear it. It's we're fucking human, okay? I'm human apparently.
I got my booster yesterday.
How did you?
I feel like shit. Yeah.
You got third?
Third. Because I needed it because we're going to Hawaii in October. Yeah. So yeah, I just fucking feel trash.
Yeah,
seriously, I feel so trash.
You look more like grey than you normally do, and I can't tell the difference from your beanie to your face.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm all about that love.
So you can check us out on social media at What Makes It Cut for both Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug, Josh?
No, not really. You know. Oh, look, Ninja Cake, if you want to look at the things I don't post, because I have not been as active as I wanted to be.
Well, you're on fucking Snapchat every day, though.
Yeah, but I don't have it public.
Oh, that's fair.
But I have been thinking about getting more active on Instagram, just for shits and giggles.
I
bought myself a new car, got myself a new bike. I am contemplating whether or not to upload short videos onto Instagram of me repairing my old bike, if I do that, you will be seeing the progress of me turning into a race bike. It's going to become a 250 race bike.
That's not bad. Yeah. I am also, I think, at the Hellfire1333 on Instagram, for my personal Instagram. I'm thinking about getting back into 3D animation.
Oh.
And 3D modeling.
Yes, you did send me the thing and then immediately deleted of the spinny cube, the spinny disc.
The file was too big, apparently, to send through Messenger.
That makes sense.
So I had to put it on Google Drive and then send you the link. But yeah,
that's what that was.
Yes. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, I've pulled my finger out and we're up on YouTube as well. Yeah. What makes the cut? I've already reserved the name and space and everything. Sweet. It's just one of those things where it's like...
We've got to get to it.
Yeah, I got to finish this animation to actually do it. I want to put like a EQ on the top that matches the shit. Like that.
I'm not going to rush you. Thing. No, I'm not going
to... Mate, you sit down and record.
You throw me an episode every now and then.
Yeah, that's true. You did do RRR. Yeah,
I do my best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to be productive. I complain what...
You're a busy, busy boy, though.
Oh, I load myself up.
Yeah, you're a busy boy.
That is a me issue that has nothing to do with anyone else. I damn near purposely go, these are the things I'm going to do on the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of the time when I finish here at the podcast, it's like in the car, home, and I'm doing shit. Whether it's shit around the house, whether it's going out to see people.
Fucking make time, mate, because we got to fucking play more Elden Ring.
I'm working on it. I really am. I'm trying to, especially now that, having bought a new car.
Yeah,
I have to stop going out so much I can afford it if I keep going out, but I also got the child on the way. So I'm trying to build up that supply of funds so I can still live the lifestyle I live.
Yeah.
Which is not an expensive lifestyle, but I like things.
I think my lifestyle would equate to if we look at D&D 5e, squalor. 2 silver per day.
Fucking hell.
I keep meagering every day, mate. I'm not ready to have a kid.
Fucking hell.
That's been what makes the cut. Cleared in an extra, 6-7 minutes of just talking shit at the end.
Hey, it just makes us relate to the people. We love them. They love us, and hopefully.
If you have a suggestion for a movie, hit us up, because we do record these in advance. So by the time we sit down and record the next one, we will use your suggestion for the podcast.
We are running out of ideas.
Yeah, I'm getting strapped for ideas.
I'm quite literally asking people. I asked my mum, my mother. I was like, hey, mum, do you have any movies you like? And she's like, oh, I like this movie. I'm like, I'm not watching that movie.
Yeah.
She told me to watch Gone with the Wind.
Oh, fuck that. It's like a 5-hour movie.
Yeah, two parts.
Yeah, fuck off. No. Yeah,
not watching that.
But Hateful Eight was my pick this week, Josh. You do have a pick. What are we watching next week?
Hustle. Adam Sandler movie. It's on Netflix. Oh my god.
That's worth it. Is that the one where goes to prison?
Nah, it's basketball. It's a basketball movie.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, Faith was watching that. I did catch middle to end. It seemed good.
Whoever told me, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I forgot who the fuck told me to watch it. Might have been my brother.
Get fucked, Pete.
But I watched it kind of reluctantly.
Mm.
I should have been watching Hateful Eight and I watched this.
Oh, okay.
That kind of... Okay. I was off with COVID and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch... I can't leave my room, so I may as well watch some Netflix. Watched this and I was expecting bad. Adam Sandler has always been the comedy guy to me. This has his... You can feel him in it.
Mm.
But he killed the role. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Very good job.
So, I'm going to have to sit down and watch that, because by the sounds of it, you've already seen it.
Yeah, again, it was I'm going to watch.
Instead of The Hateful Eight, you watched Hustle.
I'm sorry.
Is that why you wanted me to watch Hustle before the recording? For fuck's sake.
That we could do this, and then...
Well, I wanted you to watch fucking Prey for Epilement.
I didn't leave myself enough time. That's my bad. That's on me. That's on me. I am going to watch it this weekend. Me and my wife have already set aside time for Cuddle and Prey.
Have you seen...
I've seen every Predator movie.
Good.
Oh, except for the one called Predator. I think it's one of the last, the latest ones. I'll watch that. We'll do the supplement episode coming out within the next 7 to 14 business days. And we love
you, Kiba. That's a long time frame. Bye-bye.